hello and welcome to a special quickie edition of a three inning save podcast.
A three out save? Is that what we are today? Or 3 a.m. save, because that's what time the game started.
There was a one inning save for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You mean, are you talking about the undefeated Los Angeles Dodgers?
The undefeated on the road Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah. So first game is in the books. There's a lot that kind of happened. We have a lot to talk about.
A lot of little things.
It was a very weird game.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about how tired we probably are, how I assume a lot of our listeners are, who either stayed up late or woke up early or took naps like Eric did. But either way, we'll figure that out. We'll talk about it, and we'll be back after this. So going into the top of the eighth, it was 2-1 Padres, and it was just like kind of a game. Neither team scored in like dominating fashion. Both starters had spurts of loss of control. Yu Darvish much more so, but the Dodgers were less able to respond at all. And it just was like, sometimes this is what baseball is kind of game, with a few weird things including a umpire's interference that went back.
I don't remember ever seeing an umpire's interference before.
I feel like I remember seeing one where like the catcher's hand just grazed the umpire and they called it. But I can't remember. I can't place exactly when. Is that a baseball reference filter?
Yeah, I don't think you can. That would be a thing that it's weird. So that happened in the first inning. Mookie Betts walked and then he had second stolen very easily, but Luis Camposano, when he's rearing back to throw, his arm or hand, I guess, hit the mask of the home plate of our Lance Barksdale. And so the other weird part about that is that Mookie Betts, he walked, but ball four was on a pitch timer violation. The Padres had four of those for balls in this game, and all four batters eventually walked. So it was one of those weird things altogether.
I'm sorry, I just Googled umpire's interference in Dodgers. Last time I can find it happened was actually in 2022, after a leadoff walk by Mookie Betts against the Padres, where he stole second and was sent back.
Really?
Umpire. I had to like double check.
If you say Lance Barksdale, I'm taking
it
my
is
headphones off.
Sean Barber.
Oh, okay. All right.
But that if it was Lance Barksdale, I'm like, no, okay, this is some AI nonsense where they stole today's recap and inserted it into an old game. So
right.
So there,
I think we have a pattern at this point, and it's time to investigate. But no, weird stuff like that. So I looked, and I probably noticed this at the time. There were no extra base hits in this game. It seemed like every hard hit ball you look at it and you're like, oh my god, oh that's
oh,
an easy
yeah,
out.
I was,
yeah, yeah, like.
So especially early on, I was like, oh my gosh, that might be a home run, or that's going to be a screaming line drive, and it's caught, and it's caught, and it's caught.
Although the one hard hit ball that stood out was well foul. Shohei Ohtani, basically, I don't know if he hit the roof or like right at the top of like the upper echelon of the dome, like beyond like the right field foul pole. It was just, so it didn't show up on Sports LA. Well, they don't really show exit velocity, and it's hard to find.
Joe Davis mentioned 119 off the bat.
Okay, and then I looked because I saw the highlight of it. It was sort of circling around after, and the ESPN broadcast did have it like on screen as it happened. It was just like, but it's still like a shocking number, like 119. But yeah, that was pretty funny. But then like right after that, I think he ripped like a 112 mile an hour single or something.
I think this is, we have, if it's not obvious by now, we have no notes, so we're just going to be scattershot here. I'll try to structure things a little bit. What are your, so we kind of covered, oh no, we have, let's say, we haven't covered the two, in my mind, sort of notable plays, one from a unique perspective, one of which was the umpire's interference, the other which involved a glove.
Yeah. So, Jake Cronenworth playing first base for the Padres. Speaking of hard hit balls, right before this, it's two Padres were leading 2-1. The Dodgers loaded the bases in the top of the eighth with no outs. Kike Hernandez, who came in earlier as a pinch hitter. No, was he pinch hitting then? Was that
a special bat? He pinched it in, yeah, sixth or seventh.
And back to our last episode, which just came out yesterday. you picked Kike Hernandez as having the first pinch hit home run of the year. And I was thinking, oh no, this could end early. I have Teoscar Hernandez, who of course started. So, but Kike hit a ball that was one of those where you're like, oh my God. But it was like kind of not right at the left fielder, but very easily catchable.
Yeah.
And way less deep than I thought it was going to be when he hit it. But it was a sacrifice fly that tied the game. So, you have, I believe it's probably first and third at that point. I don't remember exactly the situation. It had to be because, it was first and second because
yeah.
Lux hit a ball in between like first and second. Cronenworth like ranged to get it, but then the ball just went right through the webbing. I thought it was just a simple error is the wrong way. It's one of those like where he ranged enough to where they, you know, depending on the score, right? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, oh, that's just a hit, you know, whatever. It got called a fielder's choice, and then I guess the error brought the run home, the go-ahead run at that point.
And I get why it's an error, because, well, what else do you score it? But weird to call it an error, because beautiful Bart, like just perfect glove work. It was there.
It was right in the pocket of it, or not the pocket, but like right, it was just right there. So that reminded me of a play. This is, you know, my terrible baseball exploits as a little leaguer. I can't remember if this happened. It was either little league or like senior little league. So I was a little older, or it was on freshman baseball team, which was not the whole season because I didn't make the cut or first go around. I only joined the team later because several players were academically ineligible. That's another story for another day. But, the point was, I made.
Is that your new nickname? Academically eligible.
That's right. Yeah, I'm always available. Academically, I was very aware. My awareness meter was pretty high. If we're doing video game ratings here, but so there was like a soft. It wasn't a hard hit liner. It was like a soft line drive, but slightly foul. On first base. So I kept a foot on first base and I stretched to catch this like soft liner for an out. There was a runner on first who, for some reason, even though the ball was foul, I guess it was close enough to where he thought he would get a head start. So he's off the bag. So if I catch this ball, that's a sweet double play, right? Like it's an awesome double play. And I caught that ball, except I went right through my glove. And unlike Jake Cronenworth, I didn't have a backup glove. So I just had to, like, I guess, retie the, you know, that
the
thing. And I was so mad at that. Could have been, like, not like I was going to get, like, carried off the field or something. It wasn't that good. But it was just like, oh, man, that could have been an awesome play.
I was going to say, at least give you a lifelong memory, but it still did. So
that's right. I still remember it. So it's probably fine. But
so yeah. They're kind of the key notable plays from a just sort of unique perspective. But what are your main sort of takeaways from everything we've seen for the team going on? My first one was, we've been saying how deep this lineup is, top to bottom. It's such a good offensive unit. But in the exhibition or spring training games with people getting taken out early, that
it's hard to see.
And kudo to Joe and Oral on the cast alluded to, I guess, Oral saying that like the game's too long. This lineup eventually is going to string things together. And we got for the first time all year, we've gotten to see that because they actually all stayed in other than, you know, Kike Hernandez coming in. And it really felt like that. It's like, maybe they're going to not hit with runners in position. Then obviously they'll have games where nothing goes right. But it just feels inevitable.
Right. Like most of the spring games, right? Like people are out after three at-bats probably. They might get a fourth, you know, potentially. But in this one, like all the stuff happened when everyone's getting their fourth and then at the top of the order, their fifth at bat or, you know, fifth time up. So like, you're right. It was the first, you know, really the first time where, you know. And then also, like, that lineup got Yu Darvish out of there with two outs in the fourth. Darvish only gave up a run. They certainly had a lot of chances. Like, that was there's two themes. So the offense, like, ultimately they reached base 17 times in the game. That's a lot. And they reached base every single inning. So I think it's, you know, my usual thing, because it's inevitable, no matter how well any team hits with runners in scoring position or runners on base, everyone's going to complain about it. Like, I remember this is several years this has happened, or one of the years, I don't remember if it was like 14 or 15. I think the Dodgers led the majors in, like, batting average, on base, slugging, and plate appearances with runners in scoring position. So they're, like, doing all the stuff right. And then people are, oh, they can't hit and score. I was like, what do you want? Like, I don't know. But, like, anyway.
I've been listening to random, like, productivity note-taking podcasts. And somehow one of those came up, the idea of a negativity bias, which is a thing.
Sure.
Negativity bias and recency bias all play into that, like, when they hit into they strike out with the bases, like, ah, oh, this team can't hit. And it's like, Actually, they lead the majors and, you know, whatever it is.
And so my usual thing is, like, as long as they're – the only way you can sort of get out of that sort of, like, a slump like that is just keep giving yourself those chances with runners in scoring position, and ultimately it might pay off, and it kind of did. The last two NLDSs were obviously, like, disappointing defeats, but in different ways. Like, the Dodgers in that first one of the Padres in 2022, they literally couldn't get a hit with runners in scoring position. I think it was, like, an 0-for-20 stretch at some point during the last three games or whatever. But then, like, against the Diamondbacks, they were just never in those games. And, like, they just didn't get anyone in scoring position. So it's, like, two different things. So I think this was at least a positive. So we're sort of not burying the lead, because we already talked about, like, so the Dodgers rallied for four runs in the eighth. That's the Cronenworth thing opened the door. Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani followed with RBI singles. Well, plus, another weird thing, Freddie Freeman, like, hit a hard hit ball that was a fly out to right. And then, except Shohei Ohtani was doubled off because he slightly rounded second, but then he did a quick turnaround to go back to first instead of retouching second on the way back to first. So he's out. So, like, they, you know, even they kind of left a little bit on the table in that sense, in that inning too. So it was weird. But before that inning, the Dodgers were 0-for-14 with runners on base during the game, and 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. So, you know, it's just like, it was a weird thing. Like, obviously it would have been like, they started the eighth too with two walks and a single to load the bases with nobody out. And you're like, if they don't score here, like, then whatever criticism is coming is going to be more than justified. But I think it was, yeah, just like giving themselves, chances sort of help. But yeah, like the length is obviously good. I think so. I mean, Lux technically is the only one who quote unquote didn't reach base because he got the error on that play instead of the hit. But like, he, you know, played a decent role in that. But yeah, it was what a game.
So there's the offensive side. What did you think of Klasnow? Any thoughts on the bullpen? Bullpen kind of looked like what I did love. Joe Kelly coming in, first pitch, beautiful, moving fast. I don't know if it was the two seamer or the four seamer, moving ball with movement in the zone. Gorgeous. Second pitch, completely straight to the backstop. Like,
that's your classic Joe Kelly. I do want to talk about the pitching, because there's more roster stuff with the pitching. So
you want to take a little break. You want to get paid.
Yeah, that's right. So little do people know, we get paid directly in ad bucks. And so, no, I don't know.
That's what they're called.
I don't know how business works. So, yeah.
And we're back from making all those ad bucks. So yeah. Pitching, what did you think of the pitching, Eric?
So, you're right. Like, so Glasnow was fine. He I saw a little bit of his post game interview. He called it more of a grind. He walked four, which is a lot. Like, that's the most he walked in a start last year. He did it twice in his 21 starts. A couple of those he was kind of squeezed a little bit, but also he was kind of fighting it too. The he could have got a lot worse. He only gave up two runs in five innings, but in the fourth inning, he started with like a four pitch walk, and then he walked the second guy too. And then there was a bunt single by Jerickson Profar that like Glasnow tried to field instead of like a charging Max Muncy, ended up being a hit for Profar. So they had bases loaded, nobody out. And that, like at that point, it's 1-1. That could have blown the game open, but instead Glasnow got double play and strikeout to end that inning. The run came in on the double play, but like, and then he got fifth in order, but like it could have been a lot worse for him. Like, so he just kind of gutted through a little bit. But then you're right, like the bullpen was, it was pretty solid. Like you mentioned like the Joe Kelly thing, but he had a scoreless inning. Daniel Hudson in the seventh had a scoreless inning that, you know, he made the team. We talked about that the other day. Ryan Brazier pitched the sixth, had a perfect inning with a strikeout. And then Evan Phillips had a 1-2-3 ninth. A few, I guess, pitchers, well, we know before the game, the roster was set. We talked on the sort of lead up podcast to this about, you know, some of the question marks of like how healthy are some of the injured pitchers and all that kind of stuff. And it turns out they are not. Blake Treinen went on the injured list. He has the bruised lung. Just Dave Roberts, I heard a little bit of his pregame. He basically said like he wasn't recovering as fast as they had hoped. Yeah, Treinen went with the team to South Korea, like in hopes that he might be active, but it's not going to happen. And then Bruiser Gratterall, who stayed back, was also placed on the injured list. Now he was listed as shoulder inflammation. You know, he'll be out for, I guess, about probably like the first homestand, essentially, at a minimum. But those guys are out. So basically that opened the door for all the other non-starters who were in South Korea with the team to be active. Like Landon Knack, for instance, was activated for the first two games. And then like Gus Varland, JP Fireisen, Kyle Hurt, Michael Grove, all those guys. So they get chances. Now, you know, none of the multi-inning guys really got used, but they're all available. That, I guess, on the flip side of that, the other positive about the Dodger offense, getting Darvish out of there so quick, the Padres used seven pitchers to get the last 16 outs. So, I mean, it's not an instance of, oh, they're going to tire the bullpen because it's only a two-game thing, you know, but, like, that's a lot to ask of your bullpen, even if you have a roster that's sort of built to do that. That just seems, that's a lot. And it's one of those, like, the more times you go to another pitcher, it's just another chance for someone to not have it, you know, that kind of a thing. Like, but yeah, the other rostering, so the Dodgers have seven players on the injured list now. That is a big number. There's no getting around that. Three of those we already knew because they were the 60-day IL folks for roster stuff, that the guys aren't going to be around for a while. Not Glasnow. Kershaw, Gonsolin, May, like those already happened like earlier in spring. And then Walker Buehler is slow playing. The mild eyebrow raising came with Emmett Sheehan. We knew also he was going to start in the IL because he's slow played. He was sort of slowed in spring training. When it was first reported in spring training, first it was general body soreness. I looked back at the days it sort of happened. And then once Sheehan like started a throwing program, I think it was March 2nd, it was described as shoulder soreness, but he went on the injured list with right forearm inflammation. And that's the one where, now you never want to like speculate on this, but that's what they always say before it becomes like an elbow thing, you know? So I'm like, wait, what? Like, but I listened to, again, Dave Roberts pregame, and it sounded like that it's not, I don't know, it either got lost in translation before or like was misrepresented before or whatever, but it's not like as concerning. Like he's literally still throwing. Robert said he's going to face hitters in a few days back in Arizona. He's still like, you know, he's sort of progressing on track. So it's not, I don't think it was like a setback or anything, or like a new injury. So that's at least somewhat promising in that regard. But that was kind of it on the roster front. Like you said, it just kind of worked out the deep lineup. It's going to be interesting to see how they sort of maneuver game two, because Yoshinobu Yamamoto was not as stretched out as Glasnow was in spring, and they also have all these pitchers at their availability. So you wonder what kind of leash he's going to get in the second game. But yeah, it was a good first game. Are there any other things that sort of I'm probably forgetting something?
No, I feel like we covered the main things that I kind of took away. Kind of going back, I'm really looking forward to seeing Yamamoto's debut in a game that matters, with a leash not dictated by or not with competitiveness in mind. Let me put it that way. Obviously their health is paramount. They're not gonna force them to go long, but just to see how he looks in a real game.
One thing I forgot, did you see any of the highlights of Chan Ho Park's first pitch?
I saw the uniform.
Okay, that's what I was going to get at.
I saw that it was like the joke suggesting, because I figured he would just wear, either a Korea national team jersey or something. Yeah. No, did the
Padgers. It was a half uniform, like the classic. It was pretty fun. But the other thing was Hyunjin Ryu was there. He's pitching in the KBO again for Hanwha, and he stopped over and talked with some of the Dodgers in the dugout. Saw a few video clips of that looked pretty fun. He was always obviously fun, so that was a cool thing. But yeah, just this is a weird week. Like there are two games at 3 a.m. that count. Obviously the Monday game was also at 3 a.m. the exhibition. It's fun when you're like the only game on,
mm-hmm.
and like that's like the funnest part of like Twitter basically, is when it's sort of a communal like sort of sounding board. Yeah,
Shared experience.
Yeah,
has kind of outside of sports largely gone away. So having it be 3 a.m. in Korea, whatever it takes, it's still fun.
Oh yeah, one other note before we go. On Tuesday, before opening day, Sportsnet LA or Spectrum released a thing. They're offering in market streaming now for folks in the Dodgers like television market. There is a catch. Like it is free, but you don't have to have a cable subscription to Spectrum. But you do have to have Spectrum Internet and Spectrum Mobile. So, it's one of those, I've been asking about this for a few months, but to no avail. And then they finally came out with this. The Lakers, which is also under Spectrum, a different channel, but same company, but also different league. I think that's a lot of the issue, getting around league stuff. And then also just like the logistics of it. But the Lakers deal is in-market streaming is $20 bucks a month, or like $120 for the season. The three teams that MLB has taken over broadcasts for are the Padres, Rockies, and D-backs. And they all have in-market streaming, same thing, $20 bucks a month or $100 for the season. I figured it would be something like that, or I was hoping it would be something like that, because then, you don't have to be a – it could just be anyone – regardless of what internet or mobile they have. But I like I said, it's a start, right? Everything with Sportsnet LA from the beginning, this is the 11th year now. It took a while for them to get I won't say full carriage, but they weren't on like DirecTV or AT&T or many other providers for a long time, for the first 6 years. And then when it finally was announced that they got a deal with DirecTV and AT&T, it came on April 1st of 2020, like 2 weeks into a pandemic. So it was like very fitting timing for that. But it's just one of those things, like it is available now to a little bit more people, for industry. So I think it's moving in that direction. I don't know how long it's going to take to get to a, because I think there's people willing to pay that, like $20 a month or whatever it is, like, you know, without having to go through the, like, oh, everyone's like, oh, Spectrum Mobile, what am I going to do, right? Like, and I say this as someone who did switch to Spectrum Mobile only because I got like a bundle deal like a year and a half ago, right? And it's actually been, it's been fine. Like, right, there's no, it's nothing.
We're not sponsored by Spectrum right now, are we?
We are not. I'm just pointing out like that. So, but I get it, like, because, you know, I heard the complaints too, and it was just like, well, yeah, but I don't have to pay a phone bill for a year, so it's probably worth whatever I have to deal with, and it's actually been okay. So, like, yeah, but that's it. Opening day was good. We are going to do another one of these tomorrow. Maybe we'll have an extra base hit to talk about. Who knows?
But maybe I'm sure. Hey, maybe a three inning save.
Oh my God! Can you imagine? I can imagine. Yeah, it should be fun. But yeah, that's it for a quickie episode of Three Inning Save. The Dodgers are 1-0, 161 more games to go. Wire to wire possible. We talked about that on a recent episode. So who knows? Who knows? The sky is the limit right now for the Dodgers. They can still go undefeated. They could be the first team in Major League history to go undefeated, and it's still possible.
That's true.
We're optimists here. So, yeah, that's it for us. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good one, Eric.